Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the honor, privilege of giving back to you from what you have given to us. We bless this offering, bless everyone who has given the seed and the food. Be blessed, Master God. Thank you, and may this be used for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, so glad to see all the black shirts. Welcome, YFC, and I think this is how it will be if the church is full. We had 77 plus 3, actually 80 chairs that can be accommodated here. And just 40 more people and the church will be full. And then we'll have to find another place for us to go. Hallelujah. And if this is what more glorious is, I think that is what will happen. Amen. I believe 2020 is a year where God is going to do something more glorious. And He's preparing us for that. So this morning we're going to look at this theme of crossing the Jordan. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Every week, every time we look into your word encourages us. Your word sustains us. Your word guides us. Your word is a light. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. This morning we pray that you will do a deep work in our heart, that our faith may rise up and we'll do what you want us to do in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Crossing the Jordan, we all know that Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt and he crossed the Red Sea. And now the charge has been given to Joshua. And before Joshua is this river, the River Jordan. And beyond the River Jordan is the Promised Land. And last week we looked at the book of Joshua and said, we are like Joshua. Moses was like Jesus. Moses was like Jesus. And you and I are people in this world. Jesus has gone ahead of us. And he has kind of commissioned, handed over things to us. For Moses, crossing the Red Sea was absolutely essential. You know, because behind him, behind the people were the people of Egypt. They were chasing them. And behind were the Egyptians and ahead was the Red Sea. So it was urgent. It was absolutely necessary. And God opened it up. That was a miracle. And 40 years had passed. And this new generation, they were not the people who were there at the Red Sea. They heard about it. They heard that this happened in Moses' time. And now in a similar situation, they are faced, there is a river ahead of them, and they're faced with this problem. And I think this is a good problem. But here, it's not like it was for the Israelites 40 years ago. For 40 years ago, they had to go. But here, they had an option. They could also linger. They could stay. And this is the challenge for us as we begin this year 2020. 2020 is ahead. A lot of us, you know, might say, as it was before, it will be this year also. Nothing new. You know, that kind of a mindset. But I want us to look at 2020 with the mindset that Joshua had. He was determined. He's seen the victory. He's seen what Moses did. And he was determined to cross the Jordan, move into the Promised Land. Now, Jordan, the Bible says it was like overflowing. The time when the people of Israel were there before the Jordan, the Bible says it was overflowing. The water was overflowing the banks of the river, which means it was flood time. It was not easy. It was really a problem. If it was, and for one person to go, you can use a boat or, you know, something like that. But this is like 2 million people. 20 lakh of people had to cross. That's a big problem. It's a challenge, actually. And 2020 can look like a challenge for us. But the Lord who opened the Red Sea has put this confidence in Joshua, saying the same God who opened the Red Sea is able to open the Jordan for us to cross. Amen. Because this problem, Lord God puts a problem in our lives so that we actually move on to the inheritance that God has for us. I want us to look at it, you know, look at problems that come in our lives like this. Crossing the Jordan for the Israelites would mean they would enter into the promised land. There's something waiting for them. For us, when we have problems, we just think it as a problem. If this problem were in there, I will be fine. But God is wanting us to think it from a different mindset. God has put us in the place where we are. There are certain situations we are passing through. 2020, I do not know the challenges that you have. But the Lord is saying, you need to actually cross the Jordan with my strength. And when you do that, you will enter into an inheritance that I have for you. That I have for you. And so, Jordan between you and the Lord. Promised land, there is the promised land. Nice. Here is Jordan. It's a kind of a problem. And you are here. Having faith. This is where faith comes, you know. Most people in this world will try to solve problems with their own strength. The Lord is, you know, speaking to us. He's saying, look, I will be with you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. I am with you. This is the confidence. This is the confidence. When the Lord is with us, we can actually face the problems. Now, you know, the picture here is that the enemies were on the other side of the Jordan. You know, they're already occupying the land. The Amorites, the Hivites, the Philistines. You know, they're all the people who are occupying that land. And for them, Jordan was like a good thing. They can, they defeated the enemies across the Jordan. That's fine. But as long as the Jordan is there, as long as the river is running full, these guys cannot even cross. Maybe one or two guys can cross, but, you know, 2 million people, just not possible. You know, that's what the enemy was thinking. And for these people, there was fear. Will this happen? How can this happen? But this is when God wants us to believe in a miracle. This is when God wants us to believe in a miracle. I want us to look at this crossing the Jordan in three parts. Number one is the problem, right? Number two is the miracle. Number three is Gilgal. Okay, we'll look at it one by one. Number one is a problem. What is the problem that you are facing? You know, what is the challenge that you're facing? Like I said yesterday, for students, mostly it is just the exam, right? It's just the exam. But there can be other things also. There can be other things. When I was a student like you, there were very complex problems. I actually didn't want to go home. I was in a hostel in Coimbatore, and I was happier in the hostel than I would be at home. Because back in the house were, you know, very complex problems. I had a brother who was a drug addict, and he was in the house. So constantly there'll be, you know, violence and, you know, all sorts of problems at home. So, you know, for me, I was happier in the hostel. But you know what? God is a God who's able to do a miracle when you have a problem. When you don't have a problem, what's the miracle? I mean, there's no miracle. Everything is going fine. You know, you are like the other person, no? But when God has put you in a situation where you are facing a problem, where you are facing a crisis, where there is a challenge, that is the time that God can do a miracle. Amen? Right, I want you to remember that, and now we look at the miracle. All right? Joshua. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua. Chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God will do a miracle in our lives when we expect it. God is not a God who will, you know, we are not even expecting it. He's not going to do it. He sends a rain, he sends good things, a lot of things that are common that he does for people. But when you're in a situation, when you're in a problem, the way to expect a miracle is to prepare yourself. Sanctify yourself today, and tomorrow the Lord will do a miracle. This is the way of us expressing our faith. Lord, I'm really looking forward to something in my life. I'm really wanting you to do something in my life. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify means separate. Consecrate yourself. Say, Lord, I've been living a life the way I want to. Most people do that. Actually, today's scenario, the options before us are so many. There's actually no time for God. Actually, no time for God. If you have a mobile phone, that can keep you occupied for all your waking hours. And if you're working somewhere, or if you're going to college or school, then, apart from your sleep time, college and work time, time available is limited. And if you're into extracurricular activities, or if you're working late, you're going to have very little time. You're going to have very little time. But, expecting a miracle is, saying, Lord, I prepare myself. I prepare myself. I want to be separated for you. What should I do? How am I different from the other person? That's where sanctifying, preparing, separating yourself comes. Separating yourself comes when you say, Lord, I'm not going to be like everybody. I have an issue. I'm separating myself. I'm consecrating myself. And the Lord says, tomorrow he will do something. Joshua 3:6. It talks about the priests. It's interesting that the Bible, Joshua tells something to the people and something else to the priests. To the people, it says, come on, sanctify yourself. But to the priests, he says, you guys, I'm choosing you for this. Verse 6, he says, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. And so they took the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the next thing that Joshua is going to tell these chaps, these priests actually, you're going to lead, which means you're going to be the first ones who are going to put your feet in the water. Actually, looking at it, it's a nice thing. If we are the people, there's somebody else who's going in front of us. We are not the ones who are going to put the feet in the water. It's nice because somebody else, not us, they'll go first. After they go, we'll go. If it opens up, good, we'll follow. If it doesn't open up, they're the guys who have to face the problem, right? So maybe the people of Israel looked at it like that. But that's true also. In fact, the Lord says, keep about 2,000 feet, 2,000 cubits, which is about 3,000 feet distance between the priests and the people. So the whole congregation, the people of Israel, were right behind, some a kilometer behind. And the reason the Lord said that was so that you can see where to go. The Lord is saying, you haven't been this side before. I want the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant to go in front. And as they go in front, the people can watch and then they can follow. So that was the order. And then Joshua says to the people, come, listen to the words of the Lord. Listen to the words of the Lord. I tell you, our own ideas, our own plans, our own schemes, strategy, that's not going to actually take us through the problem. That's not actually going to take us through Jordan. The thing that can take us to through the Jordan or through the problem is God's agenda, God's plan. What has God for us in 2020? If we know that and then we follow that, then passing through this problem is not a problem. Crossing the Jordan is not a problem. And so, that's what he says. So if you read verse 9, it says, 9 to 13, Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here, hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you. By this. And what is this? He says, he will not fail. That he without fail will drive from you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and the Jebusites. These are the enemies who are living in the land. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the earth is crossing over before you into Jordan. Take for yourselves 12 men. We'll come to that a little later. 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand up as a heap. Just imagine, big river. Actually, in Tamil Nadu, we don't see big rivers. And whatever rivers we see, they are dry. You'll have to go up north, the Narmada, you know, the Ganges. These are all big rivers. Or even, you know, Andhra Pradesh rivers, Mahanadi, Krishna. Big rivers. And the Lord is saying, look, when the feet of the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant touch the water, what will happen? Water will stop flowing. It's going to stand up like a heap. It's as if Niagara Falls is there, but it's frozen. No water is coming, you know. And when will that happen? It will happen when the feet of the priest touch the water. And now I want to ask, are you part of the congregation or are you part of the priest? You know, the people are right behind. And these few people, priests, they're right in front. So, you know, people must have... You know, God also understands us, you know. God also understands the people. Because earlier, if the majority were told this, what would happen? They say, God, sorry Lord, this won't happen. But, you know, God chose priests. And they were few. And when Joshua told them, they just obeyed. I don't know what they had in mind, but you know, but they obeyed. They said, yeah, it's going to happen. That's the conviction. See, this is all coming back to our faith. To our faith to believe whether what God says is going to happen, will happen, will it happen, or will it not happen? That conviction that says, this is God's word. I'm going to put my trust in the word of God. And what he says will happen. And God said, you know, by this, you will know that I am with you. So when they put the feet in the water, then it will happen. But you know what? That is the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there is no people and priests. All of us are priests. Yeah, some people are saying hallelujah, some people are saying, what's the hope, man? There's a problem, you know. Long as we have people and somebody else's priest is okay. But now we are the priest, we have to put our feet in the water. Jesus is our high priest. He has gone before us. You know, in the Old Testament, where was the ark? In the Old Testament, where was the ark? Ark was inside the tabernacle. Ark was inside what is called the Holy of Holies. You know, when they set camp, you know, there would be this tabernacle, outer court and the holy place and then the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And only once a year the high priest would go inside. That is the Old Testament. But you know what? The New Testament. You and I, thank God, we're living in this time. Jesus has already gone into the veil. Jesus has carried the blood of the sacrifice. Jesus carried his own blood into that Holy of Holies. And he's already entered into that Holy of Holies. And he's there sitting at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. So that is why we can go in front. So now we are priests and we are also people. And Jesus has already gone in front. And he says, I am with you. Lo, I am with you always. Even to the end of this world. In this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. You know, whatever the problem is, the Lord is saying, don't worry. I have overcome. I have the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That is enough for us to go in. That is enough for us to go in. So now you and I are the priests. And we have to put our feet in the water. And when we do that, Jordan will open. And God wants us to believe. I don't know what miracle you're looking for, but I'm saying this, that this is God's word. The miracle that you're expecting, what is impossible before your eyes, what seems to be, you know, ruined, shattered, gone, lost, God is able to do anew. Create fresh. He's a creative God. You know, this is a creation miracle. This is not feeding the 5,000. This is not healing the lame. This is not a one person miracle. This is for the whole community. Jesus for the whole world was sacrificed. All he is asking for us now is put our trust in him. Put our faith in him. This is what the word says. This is what God said to Moses. Or God said to Joshua. And Joshua said to the people. And they believed. And they went. And Jordan was opened. You know, many of you are standing before the Jordan. Many, I've stood before the Jordan many times. many times in my life. Many instances I can say. And standing before the Jordan is a very special experience. You know, there is fear on one side. How will 2020 be? But you know, there's confidence that comes in our heart when we say, when we hear God's word and say, you know, I have that assurance that Jesus is saying this. It's not somebody, it's not some preacher. It's not that it happened to somebody else. It can and it will happen to me. And as you're standing before the Jordan, before Jordan in your life, the Lord is saying, I'm with you. Believe. I will take you through. You have a future and a hope. Don't look at others. Look at what God has for you. You are special. I have something special for you. In 2020, you will cross the Jordan and you will go and inherit what God has for you. Amen? So problem, miracle, now Gilgal. What happened was, they crossed the Jordan. And you know, exactly as Joshua said, when the priest went and stood in the, put the feet in Jordan, what happened? It started opening up. And then the priest no longer stood on the banks. They went right to the middle. They went right in the middle and they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God, standing there in the middle. Then the whole company, it's like, you know, first one guy has to go. We call him the Bakra. Right? He has to go, and when he goes and the doors are open, then whole, you know, everyone will follow. Gumballa goinda, no? That's us. That's fine. But that's what happened. Everybody, you know, so these guys were standing. The priest was standing there in the middle of the river, and it had opened up, and then, you know, they went. They went in. And the entire congregation went past. But you know, God, if you read this fourth and fifth chapters of Joshua, God didn't stop there. The previous time, when as soon as the last Israelite crossed, God closed the Red Sea. But here, he didn't do that. Everyone crossed. These priests are still standing in the middle of the river. And then the Lord says to Joshua, I chose 12 people, 12, one from each tribe. I want you to take those guys. I want you to ask those 12 leaders from each tribe to go back into the river. You and I, you know, why this, you know, Yanda and the Wamba, you know. We finished crossing, we've come into this side. Why should you go back into the river? But God had a reason. God had a reason. He said, you go back into the river, you go into the river and carry a huge stone, as much as you can carry. How much can a person carry? How many kilos can you carry? 70. Yeah, 20 is safe, but 70 kilos is tough, but probably, you know. He said, carry a stone, carry as big as possible. Each one carry a stone. Carry a stone and come and put it here on the other side of the Jordan. The other side of the Jordan where they crossed into, that name of the place is Gilgal. And they wanted these stones to be carried and placed there. 12 stones. Why 12 stones? These 12 stones are to be what are called memorial stones. Memorial stones to tell the generations to come that this is what the Lord did. You know, for these people, they heard something before. They heard that God is the God who opened the Red Sea. And when Joshua said, this is what is going to happen, they believe. Because this is the word of God. This is what happened in the past. And the same thing, you know, what's written in this word is God's story, God's record of miracles. God's record of miracles. And these are to be memorial stones. Testimonies, proof that, hey, anybody sees that stone, huge. That's how big it must have been. Lot of stones, 12 of these stones. It would look quite a scene. If one stone is there, nobody will ask. If somebody puts 12 stones like this, what is that? Yeah, kya hai? What is this? they will say, this is something. This is not just stones. This is not just rocks. This is something that God did. And they will tell their children 3 generations later, what happened? These stones, they did not come just like that. They were there in the middle of these flowing waters. And these flowing waters, they were not like that. On the day that we crossed, the waters were piled up on one side. And the entire congregation of 2 million people crossed the Red Sea. That's memorial stone. And I want you to, remember this. God will take you through the Jordan several times. There will be several problems that might come in your life, of faith. But through all this, what the Lord will do is, when He carries you through, remember to keep memorial stones. Remember to build this memorial, because that is something that will keep speaking. God loves testimonies. God loves testimonies. God loves for us to speak about what He has done. And more we speak about what He has done, more He will do. Because when we speak about what He has done, we are not glorifying ourselves. We are saying and exalting God and magnifying the works of God. 3 years back, we had Varda. Varda. For us, RRR is a memorial stone. RRR. Okay? RRR, for us, it is? Yes. Renew, rebuild, restore. For us, it's restore, rebuild, and return. I will return. God restored. He renewed and He returned. When Varda hit Chennai, it also hit Padappai. And those who have come here before 2016 would know this place had so many trees. We lost 40 big trees. The smaller trees were many, but the big trees were huge. And when they came and removed the wood, even after the wood was removed, just to remove those roots, because the roots were 12, 14 feet high. So such big trees. This happened on 12th of December 2016. By the time we just cleared these trees, it was middle of February. And when we had cleared the trees, when we had cleared the roots, the place looked desolate. Not only that, there was damage to the buildings also. Except the main building, all the other facilities were damaged. We tried to do some patch-up work, February, March, April, May. Even people who knew as well, they would come and see the camp and they will say, no, and go to some other place. So by middle of 2017, we were literally wondering what to do. But the Lord gave us this promise in Acts chapter 15, verse 16. I will return. I will rebuild the fallen tent of David and restore. That's why we call it RRR. And today what you see is rebuilt, restoration, the return and the blessing of God. So if you see there, you will see one thing called RRR. It's written there. You must be wondering what RRR is. This is RRR. This is a memorial. And I can see so many things. The Lord is pleased. Remember to have memorial. This memorial stones are testimonies of what the Lord has done. So that's Gilgal, beginning. And then in chapter 5, verse 1 to 9, Moses calls all the male members, the entire congregation, to circumcise the males. Circumcise the males. Circumcision is God's covenant to Abraham. God's covenant to Abraham. And those who crossed the Red Sea, those who left from Egypt, there was no circumcision that happened throughout the journey, wilderness. So when they came into the new land, God wanted them to be circumcised. Now this is an Old Testament practice. This is, the children of Abraham, Jews did that. And in the New Testament, after the Lord Jesus Christ came, after people were saved, Some of the Jews still wanted to do that. We see in the book of Galatians, you know, Paul had talked to the people, non-Jews, to the Gentiles, and many of them had come to the Lord. And when they had all come to the Lord, you know, these Jews from Jerusalem would go there and tell them, it is good you all receive Jesus as your Savior, but you must also be circumcised. We read that in the second chapter of the book of Galatians. And then, you know, Paul says, you know, Peter is also saying, you must do this. And Paul says, no, you don't have to. And Paul explains that, you know, it's not necessary to physically circumcise. What is important? Read Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. Sometimes it is good to put everything on the screen. Sometimes it is good for us to take the word and read. If I build again those things which are destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. 18. For through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God. This Old Testament practice, Paul is saying, I died to the law and I lived to God. And verse 20 he says, it is no longer I who live, because I have been crucified with Christ. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Circumcision is crucifying your flesh at the cross. You know, constantly this I want to be, you know, the self keeps rising up. But in preparation to go and possess the promised land, God wants us to crucify this I. I has to be crucified. Self has to be crucified. He says, mortify the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, so that the spirit will live. If you want God, the Lord, to do things in your life, there is a constant battle between the spirit and our own flesh. And many times we are not able to even see God's plan, because my self-confidence, my abilities, all these things are muffling, are silencing the Spirit's work. And that's why we are called to crucify the deeds of the body, the flesh. If you put our, you know, self, our ego to death, we will allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. So 2020, you know, and God takes you through, you know, you think the problem is solved. After that, don't let your own senses, your own abilities take over. This is natural. I'm saying this because, you know, today especially, we've got so many gadgets, we've got so many conveniences, we are so dependent on the things that we can do and, you know, the abilities that we have and all the amenities that we have, that we give little room for the Spirit of God to work. One way to crucify the flesh is every morning slow down. Slow down. We are living in such a fast-paced life, and we don't get up early also, you know. By the time we get up, it's time to go to work, and we just race. You know, slow down. Allow the Spirit to work. Crucify the flesh. Your own plans, bring it to the altar. Say, Lord, what is your plan? And the Spirit of God will lead you, will show you what His plan is. Number 3, when they crossed, you know, they crossed over, that is victory. They had the, you know, they brought memorial stones, and then they celebrated the Passover. You know, the Passover was not celebrated. This is the third time. Actually, the previous time they celebrated the Passover was in Mount Sinai. After that, they never celebrated the Passover. Do we read the first 5 books of the Old Testament? 4 books, actually, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Constantly, this, you know, this guideline saying, look, Passover is to be celebrated every year, the beginning of the year, the 14th day. It's an annual festival. But for 39 years, they hadn't celebrated it. When they crossed over, they celebrated the Passover. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, take it." And then after supper, he blessed the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "If you do not eat my flesh or drink my blood, you have no part in me." Passover is an experience, Old Testament, but communion is the ordinance that God has given us. You know, the New Testament equivalent of the Passover. For us to become one with Him. You know, the important thing, a communion, yes, you know, have it as often you can have it. But the significance is becoming one with Him. Christ in me and me in Christ. We need to actually understand this. This whole thing about Gilgal, and this place, this building is called Gilgal. Many years ago we named it Gilgal. That's another story. That's another memorial stone. This place is called Gilgal. In Gilgal, the people celebrated the Passover. You know, for a Jew, Passover means it's like liberation. It's like independence. You and I have lost the significance. Independent significance itself is lost. But for those early, the people in 47-50, you know that independence is very significant. It was break away from slavery. And Passover was breaking away from the Egyptian slavery. And here, as they got out of, got into the promised land, they celebrated the release. You and I are born again. Okay, as many as have received Him, to them gave He power to become children of God. You and I, as children of God, we need to celebrate this victory. Celebrating the victory when we pass through the problem. I said, problem, miracle, Gilgal. When you come to Gilgal, number one, what do? Memorial stones. Number two, number three, celebrate. Passover is celebrating the victory. And finally, you know, the day after they celebrated the Passover, from that next day, you know what happened? Manna stopped. And they ate from the grain and the from the new produce of the new land. You know, we the year 1998, we went to Dubai. We were working here for about 15 years. And in 98, we took up a job and we moved there as a family. And when my boss gave me the first check, first salary, he said, "How does it feel?" You know, how does it feel? Because the salary there was like, 10 times, 15 times what you earned here. So that's the feeling. You know, promised land, grain is something different. You know, the manna was good in the wilderness, but you're no longer in the wilderness. You're in a new place. You're in a promised land. You're eating from the new place. This is new wine. And God is pouring new wine into our life. That's the celebration. You know, when you pass through a problem, 2020, I want us to actually look with expectation. All these four should happen in 2020. Your problems should be, in a miracle, the Lord will lead you through your problem. Come out of it. And as you enter, I want you to celebrate. I want you to say, "This is what the Lord did in my life." Memorial stones. Say, "Lord, I sanctify, separate myself. Not self will not rise in me. I will let the Spirit of God rise up and do the work in me." Number three, I will celebrate the Passover. And you will eat the grain of the promised land. Hallelujah. I want you to look forward, expect with expectation. You know, the grain, this we have not eaten that. Actually, many of us, we have not tasted the love. The Lord is saying you will see that. And when you see that, you will see how good it is. Are you ready? Do you want to taste the new wine, grain in the new place, in the promised land? Close your eyes. We'll pray and ask the Lord. Whatever is a problem in front of you, whatever you think is troubling you, bothering you, whatever you think is making, could make 2020 nothing different, just like before. No. I want you to bring that before your eye and in faith believe the God who did the miracle of opening the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea, the God who did the miracle of opening and parting this Jordan, He is here. God wants us to move out of that, move across the Jordan and enter Gilgal. Gilgal means rolled away. The slavery and the bondage of the Egyptians has been rolled away. They've come into the new land, come into the new place. And God wants you to eat the wealth of the land, the prosperity of the land, prosperity of the inheritance that He has for you. Each of us has an inheritance. Father in heaven, I pray for everyone here. Thank you, Lord, for YFC. Thank you for Harvesting Church. We as a church of God come to You. Father, we want to experience the glory of Gilgal. You said more glorious, Father God. More glorious. Father, we pray the miracle will happen in our lives. You're a God of miracles, Father God. You said, Master, more glorious, Father. Greater things are yet to come. Things that, Master, You have in store for us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. But Lord, in the Spirit, You have revealed it to us. Father, today, Master, we bring everyone here. Lord, we want to cross, Master. We're standing before the Jordan. Cross the Jordan. Let the miracle that, Master, we're looking for, expecting, happen in our lives. And may we cross in and celebrate in Gilgal. Thank You, Master. Celebrate in Gilgal. Thank You, Father God. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand and receive God's blessing? Thank You, Lord. Thank You. May the Gilgal blessing be upon us. May the blessing of more glorious 2020 be upon us. May the miracle of crossing the Jordan be upon us. And this will happen because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us, and may it be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Yeah, there's coffee set outside, tea or coffee, and please join, say hi to one another, and I think there's breakfast waiting for the